Welcome inside the Coach's Room, the number one podcast for football coaches that want to develop. Every week we talk to elite coaches and backroom staff to hear about their experiences, how they develop, and how they develop their players.
During a season, they have a lot of things on their mind and they are training a lot. So holiday is really good to prepare for the next season. Although it seems quite weird that, okay, doing nothing is good to start and to become ready for the new season.
This episode is part two of the session that we did with the performance staff of FC Groningen. If you haven't listened to episode 43, I highly recommend you to do that first, because then you get a really good understanding of the performance culture that they created with their staff. In this episode, we talk about how to create the perfect pre-season. Enjoy part two. What should you do to be ready for the season in your pre-season? And let's start maybe with the most, I don't know, it's the most important, but the first thing is your life. How do you coach players maybe to be ready for the preseason or to start off in the right way in the preseason?
He's looking to you, Frank.
Yeah, looking to you, Frank.
Responsibility for thinking, you at the moment.
Thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking. First to...
Because they go... Well, let's be very clear. They go on holiday.
Yeah, and they're going on holiday, and I think that's the best way to prepare for preseason, because during a season, they have a lot of things on their mind, and they are training a lot. So holiday is really good to prepare for the next season, although it seems quite weird that, okay, doing nothing is good to start and to become ready for the new season. But no, I in my opinion, during preseason, there are a few things really important. The physical preparation is really important. Also, for example, next season we start with a new head coach. He has some ideas about football. So learning the players the way how he wants to play with the FC Groningen. And I'm there to learn players what they can do to be ready every week to play a game on the best they can. So if I look at it from my perspective, in the first weeks of the season, I try to have individual conversations with all the players and to explain them some stuff about recovery. So nutrition, fluid, and also sleep, and what they can do extra to be ready for the season.
Can you share some examples for example, nutrition or sleep in that phase that is essential?
Preseason is always in summer. So fluid is quite important, because we have, in Holland is not always the case, but we have a lot of warm training days.
Yep.
And they lose a lot of sweat if they are training hard, and they have to replenish all the fluid they lost. And I try to show them and to learn them what they have to drink in the few hours before training, during training, and after training. So we have always a workshop. We give some explanation. Okay, this is what happens with your body if you lose a lot of fluid, and what they have to drink to keep performing and recovering really well.
Okay, and it can be very clear. Okay. Start off your morning, just get a glass of water straight away when you wake up. I'm just thinking out loud here, doing your work, but
good.
During the day, if you pee and it's brown, okay, you definitely didn't drink enough, but if it's watery, you're good. All those small things?
No, exactly. So we have all of the papers here in the building that, of course, you can see, okay, if you're going to the toilet and it's brown, yeah, that's not good.
Brown?
depends.
Well, that's interesting.
Let's call it dark yellow.
Dark yellow is a better word, but unless you eat a beet, then it can be red. So, no,
But this sounds very stupid, but especially young players, they don't realize this. They have to learn that you'll have to look at your pee to see what if you're hydrated or not.
Yeah, exactly. And what we usually do, we measure the weight of a player before training. Then we go train. We measure what they drink. And also we weigh them after training. And just to confront them with how much fluid they lose during a training. Because they think, okay, half a liter is enough.
Yeah, if I drink one water bottle during a session, I'm fine.
Yeah, and then they see, okay, I lost like 2 kilos. Okay, and I only drank one bottle. Well, that's not enough. So just to make them realize, okay, my body needs a lot of fluid during training, especially warm training days. So in the next couple of weeks, I need to focus to change my behavior regarding fluid intake.
And is it then you're like almost the teacher that is in the resting moments during the sessions? Okay, guys, water, water. Is that literally, or am I thinking too much in youth now?
No, that can be the case with some players. But in my opinion, you always try to learn players what to do. And of course, I like some control. So I will check if players drink enough. And if it's not the case, then we come back to the thing we earlier discussed. Do they want to have feedback?
Sure.
Yeah. On the pitch, or is it better with that player to just take him apart after training? Okay, I saw this and this, and to perform really well, you need to drink more. Okay, and then the player will work on that. So it also depends on which player it is and how much they drink.
Okay, I understand. Okay, so that is fluid, for example, and sleep is also, I think, very interesting. Also for coaches, by the way, but for everybody.
Yeah, no, sleep is the most important thing in recovery, in my opinion. So even more important than nutrition and fluid. And it's so underestimated. So if you look at sleep, I try to learn players a few things because it also, some players want to really have detailed information and, okay, tell me what to do. And other players just want to have some basic information. So you really feel... you need to feel what a player needs on that subject. So the hours a player sleep, so a minimum of 8 or 9 or 10 hours, that's really important, but also just structure. So go to bed every day on the same time or approximately the same time.
Yeah, throw away your phone.
Yeah, but throw away your phone, that's a good idea. But in my opinion, in the modern society, it's not realistic that players don't use their phone in the evening. Yeah. So you try to give them advice on how to use their phone a bit less in the evening or to wear, for example, blue light glasses that block the blue light and to help them fall asleep easier. But I also say, okay, every day, get up on the same time. Because if you do that, your body is getting too used to this rhythm. And you're going to perform better and recover better and not getting injured because, players need to be ready for the start of the season. So on sleep, I try to focus on the basics. For example, bedroom checklist. So if you have a room without curtains, it's in summer, you wake up at 6. Yeah, that doesn't help you. So really basic things to are... things that are also practical because players like practical information. I try to learn them that they can improve also those factors that influence their sleep.
I'm really curious about, and I don't have the answer, but maybe Frank has, but the brain is really on steroids. Sometimes
when you're the number of stimuli you get, you mean
mental fatigueness. That I'm just thinking out loud, but maybe you have to periodize the time, the hours they are watching on the screens, maybe here at the club, because it's not only that the players are doing it, it's everybody is doing it. And
the main example is that you ask people, how many screen time do you have? And then they say 3 to 4 hours on your phone.
Yeah.
The half of the day you're on your fucking laptop or your TV. That's screen time. Everybody forgets that. That's quite normal now. So we are in a completely messed up society.
Yeah.
Completely agree.
No, but I'm just a little bit into this because maybe you guys know it. The guy from the Huberman Lab.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know him.
Yeah.
That's an interesting podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. And, really interesting. He was with Jocko Willink. Yeah. You know him as well? Yeah. I thought you knew him.
Jocko.
Yeah, I thought
you knew him. Jocko is good.
Yeah. It's good. But those guys did a podcast together for 5 hours.
Yeah.
And sleep routines. That's why I was interested. So getting out of bed, going within 10 minutes that you wake up, go into sunlight because it wakes up your system, take up your body temperature. And I think, okay, I learned this from the podcast.
Yeah.
But as an athlete, when you're a 14-year-old boy, okay, you don't have to overpush them in a lifestyle, but still it's very valuable information to get out there.
Yeah. Well, I thought he was saying, you know, don't have a screen time in the first hour you wake up.
Yeah.
Don't drink your first coffee
at 1 hour and a half after
at 9:30, I think. Yeah, and you know, those are some kind of rules. It's very interesting.
And the way that, and that's why I think it's interesting with Frank.
Yeah.
He brings it in a very, the guy is a hyper scientist.
Yeah.
But he brings it in a way it's very easy to consume. And I can't imagine you do the same with your players. You're sitting here for people, nobody can see this, but you're in the same outfit as the performance coach. You're like, you can be, I'm this lifestyle coach and I have a nice blouse on, whatever. Yeah. No, you're part of them. Part of the staff, which makes the gap between you and the staff and the players very small.
Yeah, no, I agree. I spend a lot of time with the players. Maybe
you're even also sleeping with them, huh? When they are don't have enough sleep. So he takes his mattress to the rooms and.
No. That's saying,
I'm gonna learn the guys how to sleep.
No, but
he doesn't have to pay rent.
No, it's if you look at sleep and my contact with players is, I see them so often in dressing room, on the pitch, in the gym. So also in a bit of small talk, I try to learn them some stuff about sleeping. Every morning I ask them how they recovered, and if someone recovers quite bad, I ask why. Mostly it's because of sleep. And then I ask further and try to get some information to help him to improve his sleep again. For example, if a player when the clock goes forward or backwards, they sometimes have some problems with sleeping. And I try to give them some advices to get their rhythm straight and to improve their sleep again. So also in the small talk you have... anywhere here in this building, I can try to help them with things they do at home. So the guidance we gave the players is so much more than just here. And I think that's also a bit of the future, I think, in elite sport.
Yeah.
Because you see all the athletes all of the football players are more becoming athletes. So you really need also to focus on all parts in the performance department to help them with that.
But also things, there have to be complete athletes, but you also have to be a little bit selective, I think, on what you present on which moment. Because if you're in the first week, okay guys, now we're going to drink 2 gallons of water each day, you're going to sleep in this moment, this is when you rest, this is how you pee, whatever, and then the guy will get fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. They think that, and you really have to feel what information they need at what moment and how much they need, because sometimes they compare me with a school teacher.
Yeah.
And that's for a reason, because sometimes the setting is like, okay, it's a workshop in a school setting. And most of the football players don't like school because they like to play football.
Yeah.
Well, so I have to be really careful.
Not only football players.
the small talk Frank was talking about is a really big weapon. Have those small... You know, conversations, maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then whoop, you go again. Talking about whoop, it's also
a
new instrument we are not working with. No.
Or you use personally?
Oh, to be honest, personally, I don't know if we are having to go to that situation where we are going to monitor our athletes 24/7. I'm not a big fan of that.
Okay,
I use it personally, but... I don't exercise enough to be
oh, I'm very relaxed. Oh, yeah. Still yeah. Very relaxed. Oh, I'm very relaxed. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move to you anyway, Maxime. Because okay, you covered some part of, let's say, lifestyle and pick some goals that you want to help your players with in life, let's call it like that, or to prepare or to do to be a better performer. And I think you can do that as an amateur coach or a professional coach. Just pick some things. And if you're an amateur coach and it's warm, water is maybe the first logical thing to start with, for example. Okay, and then you are the main, no, you're all a connection, but the main connection, I think, to the playing style,
yeah,
playing principles.
Yeah. Sure.
What is the, well, very simple question, maybe hard answer. What's the best way to start introducing the playing principles and to get your team to play the way you want them?
Yeah. Now, this summer, like Frank mentioned, we're going to face a different situation, yeah, because we have a new head coach. Last year, we had some kind of database where we could introduce new guys to the playing style. Okay, in these situations, we expect you to do this in this position. And then before they even enter the training pitch, we already gave them an idea about the behavior we're expecting from them. So this summer, this will be different, although we have game principles from the club, but yeah, every coach has his idea about how it looks like on the pitch with players he has. So I think the most important part during this summer will be showing training clips, showing game clips about good situations, bad situations, the interaction between players, so every player knows how to react in what kind of situation.
But for what I'm hearing is that as a coach, if you want to prepare your players, you first need to have your own game idea completely outlined, or you have to have a very clear idea on how you want to play. It can differ throughout the season, or because you notice that players are maybe different, but you have to have a starting point for you as a staff. But that means also for the players.
Yeah, sure. In my opinion, but it's just my opinion, I think the more clear you have for yourself how you want to play, the better your team will play. And it doesn't matter if you play positional play like Manchester City, or more counter-pressing like Liverpool, or more compact block like Atletico Madrid. It's about how clear is it for you, and especially for the players. And then it doesn't care if you're playing defensively or more attacking style. It's just about clarity to the players.
Yeah.
And I think it's my job to help the coach to make this as soon as possible, as clear as possible to the players, because this is going to help the development of the team and getting the results.
Clear. And how should you then introduce that to the players? You're a new coach. Do you send them maybe while they're still on holiday, which is why I'm saying it's a bad choice probably, but you're already sending some videos, okay, this is who we want to be, or this is what I am, and they're on their beach and they're saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
Or is it coming in the first week, or you don't introduce it and they feel it through the exercises on the pitch? Or?
Yeah, in my opinion, you don't have to send them clips in the holidays.
No, I know,
especially because it's my holiday as well. Because what is the case for the players is the case for us as well. Like Jarno said earlier, we have like this 24/7 mentality.
Sure.
And we have to rest as well for 2 weeks a year. But to give an answer on your question, I think you have to both make them feel and see what you're expecting. So, for example, you can put them on the training pitch, make an exercise about something, about your game principles, and then rewatch it with a certain kind of players, for instance, the attackers, or vice versa. You show them clips about the behavior you're expecting, and then you're going to train it on the pitch. It can be either ways.
Okay. And how important is the impression of the players, and how do you the way the players experience it, and how do you implement that, let's say, in your work or in the head coach's works? Okay, you're sitting down with these players, I'm already filling it in for you, and they're giving you this feedback. Is this something that you should always take into account, or should, no, we're going to push first and let's see until we go there, and then, do you understand a little bit what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think you always have to take into account the experience of the player and the feelings of the player, because they have to fit the style anyway. So if they're not comfortable with some kind of principles, then you have to see how you can adapt your own principles to the players you're having in your team. So I think that's a really important part, to be in both ways, have a connection, have a conversation about, okay, does it feel comfortable? Is it getting the results we want to have, and things like that?
Yeah, because the reason why I'm asking is because you're starting out as a new coach, and you want to, you can imagine, you want to be this strong leader that has a clear pathway, a clear vision, but at the same time you don't want to lose the players. And if you lose it, you give too much away to your players, and okay, and we're going to change it, then you maybe lose a little bit of authority. So it's a constant balance. Yeah. Okay, this is how we want to play, how does the group experience it, and find the right way, of course.
Yeah, but I think one of the main characteristics of a good coach is convincing players about playing style. So in football, there's no wrong or right way, but just the way of the coach, I think. And the coach can adapt, but I think it's more important the coach can convince the players about his playing style. And I think that's my job, to help him convince the players. And he's going to do the introduction, he's going to do the meetings most of the times. But if my presentations look not as good as I want to, if you have a shitty presentation, you're not going to convince the players. But if it looks like it's made by professionals, then they're more convinced. So I think that's my main job, to have good presentations with good clips, good videos, good quality, to convince the players about this is the way we want to play.
Yeah, and then there's one element, and that's success.
Yeah, the best way to convince players is to win games. Yeah.
And any situations that you have been in that success really pushed it forward, or that it kept it back? Maybe not here, but in previous situations.
Yeah, I think in my previous club, Beerschot, we didn't have the squad to play for the title, but we won a few games with just a bit of luck, with which we needed as well. We had luck as well, because KV Mechelen, the other contesters, they lost the game at Lommel. So although we lost the final game in the last 5 minutes, we were playing with 10 people against 11, because we had a red card after 30 minutes already. But we were such a strong team, because the previous games we won, there was a good flow in the team. We raced above ourselves.
So the convention, the vision of the coach, empowered by results, made like the true force, let's call it that. And what should your advice be? Okay, I have this playing style, it is good, but the first 5 games, or in preseason when games does matter, but you lose them anyway. So there's a little bit, we lost against this club, which is two levels below us. You see it all the time.
Yeah.
What's the best way to deal with that?
Yeah, what I do most of the times in these situations is look at the data, because it's the most objective part, to see how are we performing and is it according to the reality. So we have metrics like expected goals, expected ranking, things like that, but as well, does the playing style resemble as well in the data how we want it to be, and then we can maybe adapt some things, or in the training sessions, or in our game plan, and see if it's working out after that.
Yeah. Coaches, once a month, we organize
the Pro Coaches Room, an online meeting exclusively for professional coaches. In this meeting, we exchange networking knowledge, and almost all the guests that you've listened to in this podcast are in this group. So, if you are a professional coach, you work at a professional academy, you want to join this network group, find me, Arend Jan Kranenburg, on LinkedIn, send me a message, and we can add you to the group. It is a wonderful group with a lot of value. So, professional coaches, make sure you join it. If you are not a professional coach, but you also want to be part of such a group, make sure to follow us. Follow us on our social media, keep track on of our platform, because after the summer of 2022, so this summer, we will start more groups of different levels. So I can assure you there will be a spot for you as well. If you do not have the data, let's say you're an amateur coach, you have maybe some footage or whatever, should you still, maybe I'm giving the answer already, it's what I tend to do, but you find some of your, let's say, KPIs that really show your way of playing, and that's where you focus on.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of points when the points are not there.
Yeah, yeah. I think,
are we not fooling ourselves because the points are not there? We're just finding other reasons to keep going the way we are?
Nah, I think... I studied psychology, and my thesis was about ego and task orientation. And if you really look at these orientations, if you compare yourself to others or to yourself and previous results, I think the second is one of the most or the best orientation you can have, the best mindset you can have, and it raises the bar for yourself, and the results will follow as well.
Yeah. But that's I think that's very concrete as well for coaches on any level. If you have maybe you have some footage of your first week, then you have some footage after 6 weeks of preparation.
Yeah.
If you can show the team, even when it's without data, but just some clips, the transition is fast or the duels are hard or whatever.
Yeah.
You're convincing them on that you improved.
Yeah. And when I was a youth coach, I did sometimes I did some kind of special thing, I want to call it, but I never talked about results. But I said, okay, we're playing four quarters. The first quarter, we're going to count how many switch passes we gave, because that was a topic of last week. And in the second quarter, I want you to raise this number. And in the third one as well. And in the fourth one as well. So we're just focusing on these switch passes, the only topic we handled that week. But the team was playing so good. The results were very good as well, but it was not the main focus. And I think in professional level, it's different, because you cannot say we are going to count the switch passes in the first half and the second half. But you can, especially with data or footage, you can count those things, and you can test yourself on these topics, and it will help your team definitely.
Yeah, and you're making your goals measurable. That's the first.
Yeah.
And you're creating a way to literally win every quarter.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, and that's where the playing style is such important. The more clear your playing style is, the better your KPIs will be covered, or you can make them very clear with words to the players, but as well in countings or data or
So for example, you want to have a very forward, direct attacking style. So you measure the forward passes of your central defenders.
Yeah,
not the wide ones. No, how fast do you give on
for
how
example,
many touches? And for
understand.
And even when you're an amateur coach, you can have some guy in the stands just marking every forward pass and giving you a note. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So, conclusion here is knowing your playing style in and out, and then find a way to get your players involved.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to have maybe experienced players. And don't, maybe the main thing is don't be afraid to change it a little.
No, you can change it in the details, but the main idea has to be what you want to have as a coach. Yeah, because you can adapt in details, but you cannot adapt the whole style. Pep Guardiola is not going to play like Atletico Madrid.
No, that's true. And then the last step is, well, not the last, there are many more, but in this case, find some parameters to measure and try to show that there's improvement.
Yeah.
And compare it to yourself, not to anybody else.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we just solved the whole playing style up in the preparation.
Yeah.
Now, let's do the physical. If we can do that in 15 minutes as well, then we're done.
We can do it in 1 minute.
Okay, well, do it in 1 minute.
Just have a plan and stick to it. And sometimes you have to be a little bit more, a little bit less. Physical. I think there's a lot of methodologies. I think there's a lot of literature how you can do it. So I think we can talk about that. But, you know...
Maybe just get some context. Do you use maybe Freien or Frada? Or is there a way that you use? Or is it your way?
It's more our way, but...
Yeah, sure.
No, it's not about that we are... The thing is, you can say, you know, we train every day, for instance. It's not that we are doing it, but you can train every day and you have just low volume, low intensity days and you are really into the monitoring of the individual. Or you can say, you know, we have structurally, we have the day after a game we are free or 2 days. I think it's more depending about the individual needs. And I think that's what we are really good at. The individual analysis of every physical, of the physical needs. I think we're doing a really good job when we are talking about that. And then you'll see that...
Your first principle is individuals first. That's in your...
Yeah.
If we can filter out the principle...
When we are starting, you know, this season, we are starting with an individual an analysis of the physical needs. And we are like having the medical check, the physical stack check, maybe some psychology check, mental check, you know, give it a name. And that's what we are starting for when we are kicking off this preseason. The first 2 days are more like together with the new coaching staff. We are having, I think, 2 days together.
Yeah,
without players.
Without players, yep. To getting to know each other. And 2 full days. So I think that's good. And then the first week are like testing. What are you testing? You know, the physical. But you have to do that because you have to know, especially when you are having new guys in. I think that's the most critical group, the new guys, because you have an idea what they did before. You know, you can search the couple of games they played, the minutes, everything, but still you have to know them. And I think Frank is having a big role in that because players are new. They are maybe living for the first time in a house by themselves.
Sure.
You know,
so
it's really important that we are working there as a whole, as a group. But that's like when you are heading the first week is like the testing, getting to know each other. But also, and I think that's a big mistake when we are talking about maybe amateur level are making is that they are having their first game in the first week.
Sure. And I hope not a lot of coaches do it anymore.
No.
But sometimes you get this chance and maybe you want to do it and I'll give everybody 45 and then 2 players are injured and then they have to give, you can do 90. Well, that's what happens most of the time.
But when you are working at a professional club, you know, sometimes you have to do it because maybe some sponsor contracts, you just have to do it. But then you have to be really smart about how you are going to introduce those players about now really the sprint running, you know, above 95% of your max velocity. And I think that's really critical when you are doing that the first game. So you have to say maybe we are going to play 3 times 30 meter, 30, 30 minutes when you have a lot of players. That's more for the professional organizations. When you look at amateur level, please don't play that first game in the first week. Just do a conditional training on maybe Friday or Saturday. Maybe have, you know, that's what we are doing in the amateur level. Have a barbecue together.
The most important thing is there is saying no, because everybody knows this. That's,
for me, it's a non-negotiable.
But then you are, let's say this fifth, sixth tier club, and this first tier club says, can you play? When you're like, oh, I can play, it's good for the audience, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's when you should say
no. Because when the acute load or, you know, sprint running is too high in the first week, that's, you know, that's trouble.
Yeah.
So introduce those high intensity runs, especially high sprint runs, especially in the second week, instead of starting it in the first week.
Yeah.
You just start up with small spaces, medium spaces. And maybe when you're having the third training on a Friday or a Saturday, maybe a Sunday, do some large pitch sessions.
Yeah, so you're saying it can be explosive. That doesn't matter, but it shouldn't be the long distance when you really stretch it to the maximum speed.
You just can't say to players, run at 80%. In a small-sided game. So, but that's what I'm saying. Just keep the spaces a little bit smaller, a little bit.
So they never reach the maximum.
No. But if they had like the first three or four sessions, then you can go maybe to a large pitch and play 9v9, 10v10, or maybe 11v11, and 2x10 or 3x10. Yeah. Well, and what we are doing is more about what is an individual need about like the whole preseason. What is a and we are not talking about, sometimes we are talking about positioning, but I'm more talking about the human being.
Yeah.
What does it, so for instance, and I think that's an example we are doing at the moment is when we have guys like 30 plus, you know, you have to discuss about if this player needs an extra training during a week on the same day. This week we are the 30 plus players, we just give them one session, and because we know they are recovering a little bit slower than when you are 21 or 22. So you have to focus on the groups you are, age, level of intensity they played before. When you have new players, that's really, really important. What does the test saying about their physical status at this moment? So we have to check that. We have to discuss that. So, yeah, I just I think that's a lot of a couple of.
So there are small rules. Or yeah, small principles. Not yeah, small. There are principles you have to take into account.
Yes, that's, I think the most important. And I think, for me, I think they are not negotiable, because that are like, there's so much evidence that you don't that you just don't do that.
No, the thing
would be stupid that you were already doing it in the first week. Yeah.
The thing is that you want to. That I'm kind of thinking of how I did it as a head coach.
Yeah,
was a fifth level of the Netherlands, maybe fifth, I think. And you're this new coach. You want to treat everybody equal because you don't want to make any exceptions. But you should make exceptions. You should allow that player to do less. But that's where you have to stand for, and that's what you have to explain, and don't budge on it. That's the thing you have to do as a coach.
And especially new guys, they really want to show the new coach how they are.
Also,
how they are perform. So sometimes in the first 2 weeks, you know, they are, getting so hard on sprint meters and showing power, because they are really coming fresh out of the holiday and they have a lot of power.
Or they are not honest about small pains or whatever.
No. So be smart as a coach that you are really do it day by day, week by week, and increase the load with small steps. Especially when you're looking at sprint meters above those 30, 32 kilometers an hour. Those are really important for every individual. Really know how many times they trained with their
previous seasons, with their former club,
because when we have academy players, we have a good monitoring system. We have a monitoring system, so we know what they did the last couple of years. Yeah. But when you have new players, you have really no idea. Huh? And
that's pretty interesting that there's let's say, a transfer of a file like in a medical.
Oh, we do. We have sometimes a phone call with the former club, and they're giving us the informations. They have to sign and they have to sign for it. And then we have like the monitoring analysis and the data they had from the last couple of years. But still, it's different. You have to really have to know that player. And if I'm, the advice is less is more. Start with only one session. Maybe four times a week instead of the whole volume you want to train with the whole group, like four or six times a week. I think you have to really prepare them for the whole season and not only for them, because sometimes you see that the preseason sometimes is more important for a coach than the whole season. And they've blown up their players in 2 or 3 months after the preseason. And then when it's like... it's money time. Then we are not performing anymore. Yeah.
Okay. So small steps.
Yeah.
Get to know your players is what I'm hearing as well.
Yeah. Yeah. You have the time for it, so take your time.
Yeah. And I think you could fit this into any context. Okay. You see your players daily.
I have some rules for my physical preparation. So I tell them and. I think, Frank told sometimes, you have to talk with a player one-on-one. I prefer to do it in a group because then everybody knows what I'm saying. And then I don't have to, when you leave the room, when you're in a one-on-one situation and they go to another player and they say, I did that. So sometimes, it's really one-on-one because then it's like, it's that much private. Then you have to do it one-on-one. But I prefer to do it in a group. Yeah. Then we know, it's just being on time with my session, and I'm really strict on it. And if I'm seeing you are not, sometimes Frank is laughing about my principles, but he knows what I mean. You are at time. A deal is a deal, and when it's not good enough, we're doing it again. And those three rules are like really. I wouldn't say they are famous over here, but I just. Every time I talk with a player, I say, you have to be on time. We have a deal. A deal is a deal. And when things are not going well, on a normal conversation, I just say, do this or don't. But that's like my principles. Yeah. And every year I repeat it.
That's a little bit going back to the way we started. It's that culture and setting the example.
Yeah.
Okay, this is the way we work, especially maybe in those first...
Yeah. And every guy who are sitting over here, I think that's really important because and it's a really good book, but Skin in the Game. There are so much guys who are really knowing a lot, but they don't have skin in the game. And skin in the game is more like being here in the present and not somewhere in another room. Because it's really important to have the connection with your players. If you don't have the connection, if you don't have a relationship with the players, then performance is like far away. And that's starting at day one.
And I'm not saying it's a trick, but a small way to do that is when you do, for example, your core exercises on the pitch, you join, but maybe Frank joins as well. So you show them, okay, I'm getting tired as well. I'm doing this. I'm failing as well. Yeah, whatever. Is that what you mean?
A really good example of that is that also the coaches are are joining the strength training.
Yeah.
Because, we all know it. The most important guy of that room is the head coach. And if the head coach is like embracing the strength training, then everybody should be embrace it because, if the coach think it's important, then I have to work hard over there to show the coach that I'm working hard. And then you should be, but it's different because sometimes I give a player, then I'm not going to do the core, but the core training, but maybe a player.
Yeah.
and just giving them the.
What's something in my preseason? I mainly let my assistant do a lot of the session as much as possible, because it allows them to kind of build the authority towards the group, which is going to help me throughout the season. And while it was a physical way, I joined the physical session as just one of the players. I wasn't the strongest, but I was battling with them as well. And then it showed them, okay, everybody's involved. We listen to that and that guy. You create almost a flat leadership. And then when it went more to football, okay, I stepped on top of the group again. Okay, I had to hold my breath. Something was tight, but fuck it, I had to go anyway. Yeah. And then you show, okay, and now I'm ready to do the next part.
Yeah, but developing leadership is also, you know, when they are on the pitch, they have to do it. So if you don't train it during the week, how can you ask them if they are going to do it on the pitch?
That's true.
Because, you know, lead by example, but leading by example is also giving the players the opportunity to you know, to create an environment when they are in charge instead of that we are in charge.
When that's interesting, because you have to start with that as soon as possible. Yeah. But it's still it is changing, but you have to show a way of leadership in that as well.
Yeah,
especially as in any role as a coach, because we all know if you do that, then the first session, okay, guys. And then nothing happens.
No.
So you have to set an example in that again, I think.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what we are talking about, observing people. Sometimes they already have it. Sometimes you have to develop it. Sometimes, you know, it's never going to happen. Yeah. And leadership, you know, it's trending, but everybody's talking about personal leadership. But sometimes it's also good to be a follower.
It was really interesting during the coronavirus, I thought, because there were no people in the stadium, so this leadership we are talking about now could be replaced by leadership by the coach, you know?
Yeah.
Because, you could hear the coach from everywhere. And now, when the stadiums are crowded again, you have to see, okay, which players are going to pick up again this leadership in the pitch, because the coach cannot reach every player anymore.
But it's also the other way around. Which coaches took that opportunity to take more of leadership?
Yeah.
Which coaches would leave the self-regulation or leave the autonomy with the players? That's also interesting.
Yeah, it was really interesting to see.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, it's a different situation, but, you know, me and my wife, we have 3 children, but, you know, we have to learn them to be responsible for their actions. And it's not that when they are like 18 years old that I'm also going with them on the bike to school and see and sitting in a class how they are doing it, and if they're not doing it, and shout to them that you're not doing it well enough. So a big KPI for me personally is self-regulation, because what I think it's really important that when a good player, doesn't matter if a good player, but when they are leaving another club, that they learned a lot about physical preparation by themselves, and that they are really know how their body is working, how their body is adapting, and how they are going to manage themselves in their whole career about their mental and physical preparation.
Yeah. And so that's because Groningen is not the end station you want to bring people. So this is, you will lay the foundation for their professional career.
That's maybe a tiny, you know, legacy I want to be for those players.
Okay, guys. Okay, I think we've created some legacy with this episode on giving some insights on what are principles for your preseason. And I don't think you know, but we're already hour and a half in, so time is going pretty fast.
Yeah.
You were talking about your children. You have to get your daughter from athletics. No,
track and field.
Yeah. So we're gonna end this. Yeah. Did we forget anything? Is there anything to mention?
No, in my opinion,
we covered everything.
We covered a lot, not everything, but if you want to cover everything, it's
we're gonna sit here for a couple of days.
Yeah, I think so too.
It would be good, because we are having a I'm enjoying it, so it's good. Yeah.
We'll do a part 3. Yeah. We'll do a part 3.
Good.
Yeah.
Always welcome over here.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. And so when you're hearing this one, I kind of have to contextualize this. It's probably in two parts. So the first part was more about leadership and the culture that you create here as a staff and as a group and as a club. I think more as we didn't really go into the club side, more in the staff side, I think. Very interesting. And I really have the strong feeling that everybody in the staff is connected and knows where each other's strengths are. And you didn't say it, but probably you know where each other's weaknesses are as well.
Yeah.
And in the second part, it's a little bit more technical, but I think we have found some interesting nuggets to put in your preseason. And whether you can measure if somebody sprints or it's maximum, or you can just see it, you can always find the right ways to implement these. And the physical playing style performance, I think, yeah, we gave some insights here. Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you for stepping inside the coaching room. For stepping inside your, what is it, meeting room.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you like this episode, share it with your colleagues, share it with friends, share it on social media, like, subscribe, do whatever you do best and help us grow. Because the bigger we are as a podcast, the bigger and the more inspirational names we can invite to inspire you. And do not forget to pick up your 14-day free trial at thecoachesroom.com. With your free trial, you have access to all our masterclasses, both the live ones and the on-demand ones. Coaches from top European academies share their knowledge and you can watch it. So go to thecoachesroom.com and pick up your 14-day free trial.